And we welcome you to the Labor Day edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdahl, C70 at the bat, at C70. And with me, as always, is Tara Wellman from Birds on the Black and Bird Seeds, and Tara Wellman on Twitter. She's also, like, nationally known now, which is awesome. So if you haven't checked out her her interview, and Tara, tell people where they can find your interview with Jess.
Well, if you somehow missed the 9,000 times I tweeted it out, shamelessly, no, you can look up Jessica Kleinschmidt's show, Infinite Jess. She writes and produces for MLB Cut 4. So if you're looking for it on YouTube, it's all under MLB's one channel. There's no MLB Cut 4 separate channel. So it's a little hard to find there, but if you just search the hashtag Infinite Jess on Twitter, it will come up, and like I said, I'm sure you will see my plethora of tweets sharing the show from the other day. It was a lot of fun. We got to talk about Matt Carpenter for quite a while and talk about salsa and talk about the difference that Mike Schilt has made, and it was a good time.
Yes, and Tara told me it had nothing to do with snapping fingers and stuff like that, so nobody actually vanished away into nothing
right
afterwards.
Yeah. We're all still here.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, I'm glad at least you survived, because the show is a lot worse if you're not here. So, speaking of a lot worse, the Cardinals go and drop a series to the Reds. The first series they've lost in 10 tries, or 11 tries, I guess. And ironically enough, the last team they lost a series to was the Cincinnati Reds. You remember?
I don't know what you're talking about, because as far as I'm concerned, this series never happened.
Yes. Tara actually did not watch the series, so if you want to put any blame someplace, probably you can drop it on her. She's used to it. It's okay.
That's fair.
You know, you remember those old days, you know, back in like April when the Cardinals won 9 straight games against the Reds? Good times.
Yeah.
The Cardinals now have lost the last 3 series against the Reds, 2 under Mike Schilt and 1, well, they got the manager fired and brought in Mike Schilt. So I don't know what the deal is there, although it would be an interesting argument to say that Jim Riggleman might have been the best manager in the league to take on Mike Schilt, just because he is a former Cardinal Way guy, and he has a general idea of how Mike Schilt's going to do things. But anyway, it didn't really matter what the managers did, because the Reds' pitching was that good.
It's also a fascinating contrast of interim managers, although not anymore.
True. It would have been a fascinating contrast, but as Tara so helpfully reminds me that we need to talk about, the Cardinals have taken off the interim tag for Mike Schilt. So we'll do that, and then we'll come back to the Red Series and things of that nature. The Cardinals, after 38 games, go and take that tag off of Mike Schilt. Did not go to the offseason, did not try to interview anybody else. Apparently did some, I don't know, informal feeling out. They did ask Jose Aquindo what he thought, if he was interested in the idea, and he said, not really, let Mike have it. I guess that was, you know, the national buzz was, why are the Cardinals judging on 38 games? But it really wasn't that. Was it a good idea to take that tag off right now, though?
I mean, as per usual, the national story tends to not always cover all the details. You know, if you watch 100 games a year on Fox Sports Midwest, you know a lot more about the people and the storylines and the history than you do if you watch only when the Cardinals are on Sunday Night Baseball, right? The national guys just aren't there. They don't know the whole story. A little bit of research goes a long way. It's not hard to figure out that Mike Schilt has been around the Cardinals organization for plenty long enough for the front office to have a pretty good idea of who he is and what he's about and how he's going to go about his job. So while, yes, they gave him the job officially based on 38 major league games, this is a job that's a decade or more in the making, if you listen to the way that Mike Schilt talks and the way that John Mozeliak talks about him and kind of the career trajectory that he's been on since his introduction to the Cardinal system. So, yes, it seems quick because it was 38 games, and I think part of it is it's been an incredible 6 or 7 weeks, right? It's been historic in a lot of ways, and it's easy to get wrapped up in that, and it's easy, perhaps from the outside looking in, although there are a lot of people inside Cardinals baseball kind of people who might have pumped the brakes a little bit on making this decision when they did, but it looks like it was maybe the result of being swept up in the moment, when it seems like the best I can tell, the moment, in air quotes that you can't see, was kind of the confirmation of the direction the club was already going. So my opinion, without having spoken directly to anyone involved, is that this is what the Cardinals wanted to do anyway. And they just needed to see how it looked in real life before they put the official stamp of approval on Mike Schilt going forward. And what it looked like in real life in 38 games was 10 consecutive series wins. And, you know, that's a pretty solid start to a career, particularly coming off of the tailspin that the team was in when Mike Schilt took over. So plenty of reasons to question what he's going to do now, you know, now that they've dropped a series and what that's going to look like. But I think there's, like I said, a decade or more of a book on Mike Schilt that the organization feels quite comfortable with moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, now that he's lost one, they're going to fire Mike Schilt and name Mike Schilt interim manager.
Right.
And, you know, put the interim tag back on, make that work a little bit better. Yeah, I mean, you look at Mike Schilt's trajectory, it's just, I mean, and we've talked about it ever since he got this job. We said that 70-80% chance he was going to get that job next year, and that was before he did anything. Because the organization has been so far behind him. They created that quality control coach thing that still isn't defined, 2 years later, because they don't even have one anymore. They made up a job to put Mike Schilt on the big league roster. And I think that, you know, and then they moved him to third base, which is a key spot once Dave Maloney got reassigned to the Braves organization, which is really interesting, and I didn't know you could do that.
But heck of a reassignment.
You're not kidding. And then, you know, this year they move into bench coach, and that was, I mean, these steps, you look at them and it's like they want Mike Schilt to be a manager someday. And it didn't necessarily have to be this year, but, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of the year. They surrounded Mike Matheny with a lot of guys that could become manager, and Mike Schilt was one of them, one of maybe the most notable of those. So, you know, to see him and then have success just confirmed what they already said. And it got to the point, you got to figure that, you know, if you call somebody this offseason, if you call Joe Girardi and say, hey, we would like you to interview for the Cardinal job, he's going to go, why? You're not going to hire me. You're going to hire Mike Schilt. You know, I mean, why am I going to waste my time coming in and talking to you? So, you know, so I think that was some of it. It's an interesting idea that somebody floated around that if they didn't do it, then the players start wondering why they're not doing it. Do they know something? You know, I don't know. But it does give some certainty for the rest of the year. It gives some certainty to the, when they go after free agents, that if they're interested in St. Louis, they know who's managing. They know what the results have been. It made some sense. Again, I'm a little surprised that they did it. I thought they wouldn't do it until the end of the season. It's kind of like Tony La Russa never naming Jason Mott the closer in 2011, even though he never let anybody else pitch the ninth inning. It was like, we know we're going to make him manager, but we're not going to say it because everything's working fine. Cardinals obviously not subscribing to baseball superstition, and obviously it cost them. So,
yeah,
you know.
You learn, hopefully, to not make these mistakes repeatedly. But now what are they going to do?
Hey,
I don't know.
Excellent. Yeah, they're kind of stuck now. And the Cardinals do drop the series this weekend. And then, you know, some of it is, I think a lot of it, and Tara can back me up because she never watched the series, that they ran into some really good pitching. Luis Castillo was extremely good last night. Anthony Discalfani, or however he says his name. I'm not actually up on Reds pitchers' pronunciations.
I mean, that was better than Mike Shannon's attempts normally are, so congrats.
Glad I cleared that low bar, you know. I didn't trip over that one like I did the rest of Discalfani's name. Anyway, he has, at least in the past, been one of their better pitchers, and I don't know what he's done this year necessarily, but it's not, he's got talent. It's not like some of these other guys that the Reds could come in. And now, you know, they had their chances against the Reds bullpen, and they could have done some more here and there, and it just didn't pan out. But, Terry, you said it earlier. I don't remember if it was while we were talking before the show or we're going to rehash stuff we've recorded, but they've been playing playoff baseball for quite some time now. There's going to be a fatigue factor to set in.
Yeah, that's been a bit of a concern of mine as we're watching this historic charge, is that it's great and it's fun and it's exciting, but it started quite early in comparison to some other late season charges. And that's great because there's more time to make up ground, but it's also really hard to play at that high level of with that consistency, with that intensity, with that emotion, with that, you know, mental investment and focus without it ever wavering for essentially, if we're looking at, you know, what we hope to see from this team, like 2.5-3 months, right? That's really hard to do, especially then when you take into account the injuries that continue to stack up and the backups to the backups that keep finding their ways into, you know, some pretty prominent moments for this team. So it's frustrating to see them lose two in a row to the Reds. It's difficult to see them, you know, not look like the team that has been so ultra competitive in any situation over the last couple of days. Although I'm saying that based on what people have told me about the last couple of games, because I certainly didn't see them. But you know, I had multiple people today expressing concern about the approach at the plate and, you know, how they were just swinging for the fences, or they were swinging at bad pitches, or they looked undisciplined, or they looked tired, or they, whatever the case may be. And I would caution the giant emotional pendulum swing, because first of all, it's two games. Second of all, as you mentioned, the pitching for the Reds, when I did a preview about the Reds very early in the season when they were still a really terrible team, Castillo was one of the guys that a lot of people were pretty high on as far as the potential that was there. Maybe not, you know, in the moment, but a guy that certainly had the stuff to be a top of the rotation guy. And we've seen that the last couple of times the Cardinals have faced him. So I would suggest a bit of patience and acknowledging that it's two games. Yes, they lost a series, and the unfortunate part of having to play playoff caliber baseball for 2.5 months is that every single loss seems to flip the standings, particularly as it pertains to those playoff hopefuls, especially when the Cubs and the Brewers are insisting on just not losing. But it's two games. Let's see what happens in the Washington series, and then see if there's cause for all of this dramatic concern. But like you said, what the Cardinals are trying to do is pretty extraordinary, and to maintain that pace, knowing that every loss could be the loss that pushes you outside that postseason picture. That's a huge stress factor that, you know, there are going to be some moments that they look a little less than, and apparently this weekend was one of them.
Yeah, and I hate to break it to anybody that's listening to this Sunday night, Monday morning. They may look like that again Monday afternoon,
yeah,
because they're facing Max Scherzer. that tends to happen. Yeah, it's difficult to keep up this. And again, records, 10 straight game series is a record, or at least, you know, a tie is one, and people don't do that. Nobody's done it in a while. It just doesn't happen. And these things are going to slip. And you run into a Reds team and you hit a bad pitching, you hit a tough pitcher one day and you're off another day. And even then, today, it's one of those games that we've talked about before. Cardinals get down 2-0 early. They come back and tie it. They give up a run. They come back and tie it. And then, you know, they give up a 3-run bomb in the 10th and still get a run in the bottom of the inning to, you know, at least make it competitive. They didn't win it, but this is the kind of thing we've seen throughout the last 6 months, 6 weeks, mm-hmm. that they've had this rally, this ability to bounce back, to continue to fight, and, you know, that's a good thing. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds over the last month. The Cardinals right now sitting a game and a half ahead of Colorado for the last wild card spot. They're half game behind Milwaukee, so they're a third place team right now, but they're still, I don't want to say comfortable ahead of Colorado, but you know, they're going to be there tomorrow. They're going to probably be there Tuesday. I mean, you get a win or two here and there. Not to say, hey, they're going to the playoffs, but they're in their good position. But still, to see, it's a downer for sure to see how tight this is. And you know, the Cardinals had come within what, 3.5 of the Cubs, and then they lose two, and the Cubs win two, and you kind of write off the division now. It's just, you hate to see tight races like this. I guess it boils down to
September's not going to be an easy stretch for the Rockies. I mean, they have the Giants to start this week, but then they've got the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks who were battling it out for that division title. They've got the Dodgers again a week later and the Diamondbacks after that. Plus, then they have the Phillies and the Nationals to wrap up September. So, I mean, the Rockies have a tough road ahead of them, but that's also going to be interesting as, you know, that Dodgers-Diamondbacks race shakes out. So there's plenty of opportunity. Of course, the Cardinals have to take care of their own business, and their last week of the season certainly has the potential to be a deciding factor as well. But I think, to your point, it's incredibly disheartening after the high everyone has been on watching this team for the last couple of months to see them lose two back-to-back games for the first time since, you know, the middle of July, mm-hmm. and drop a spot in the standings, drop behind the Brewers in the wild card race. But this weekend doesn't change the overall picture dramatically as far as the Cardinals' chances of making it into the playoffs. You know, if you want to talk about the division, I think it's a little premature to get worked up about the division at this point, even with the 10 consecutive series wins. But right now, you know, when Mike Schilt took over, we were all kind of just waiting around to see if they maybe had a chance to sneak in to the postseason. And that's the position that they've put themselves in. So this weekend was frustrating, to say the least. But it doesn't really change that overall picture dramatically when you look at what the possibilities still are in the next, you know, 3.5 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still, I mean, they're still the team that they were.
Yeah.
There's really no thought to that, but they just,
I mean, despite what Max Scherzer does to them tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, they're still the same team.
Good chance. Although, you know, if it's got to be, tomorrow's going to be interesting. I hope, Sarah, that you'll be able to find time to watch the game tomorrow. Because, you know, Jack Flaherty versus Max Scherzer, there may not actually be a base runner all day long. That should be a very interesting matchup to see. But anyway, I mean, and I guess if you wanted anybody to go up against Max Scherzer, it would be Jack Flaherty right now. But, you know, even if you lose that, you hope you take the two from the Nationals after that, and then you've got the Tigers next weekend, which is a team that you should beat, and then you go from there. And you're, like you said, you hope the NL West kind of beats up on each other and has a lot of losses there and keeps them afloat in that regard. We saw the rosters expand for the first time yesterday. They brought up Ponce de Leon. They brought up Carson Kelly. They brought up Tyson Webb. Is that right? Tyler Webb. Sorry. Tyson Ross.
There
we go. Kind of got enough of these same name guys running around. I don't know. What is it with T's? I don't know.
It's a great letter. What can I say?
So you say. So they made their first call-ups. They say they're not going to make any more call-ups while Memphis is active, but, you know, obviously need will determine that. Ellen and I talked a little bit about this on Meet Me at Mutual, but the fact that Carson Kelly comes up to be that third catcher when the Cardinals really don't seem to need two catchers, as Francisco Pena, I think he's still there. I'm not sure. Is this an indication that the Cardinals are a little bit more enamored with Andrew Kisner, who comes up to Memphis, gets to play in Memphis's playoffs, while Carson Kelly he got to bat today for the first, you know, got to draw a walk, but he may not bat again for, what, 2 weeks? Who knows? I mean, at best, he's going to be a pinch hitter because he's not going to start while the Cardinals are in a race, and Yadier Molina doesn't believe in days off. So, I mean, is this just we have to bring up a third catcher because that's what you do when the rosters expand? Or is this maybe a change in of value of those guys?
I don't know that the Cardinals would ever acknowledge that it is, because, you know, it's not really going to help their case if they suggest publicly that their AA catcher is more valuable than their AAA catcher. But, you know, we've seen what Carson Kelly brought to the table this season. He had a taste last year for a pretty significant amount of time. He's not, you know, forcing their hand to make him the backup to Yadier Molina, but also there's not a ton of value at this point in being the backup to Yadier Molina. So to some extent, it made sense to leave him at Memphis so that he could play and he could continue to improve, that he could continue to work on things. But he hasn't necessarily made a lot of noise in doing that, that would, you know, push for the conversation about splitting time with Yadier Molina in the future. Perhaps that's because no one's brave enough to have that conversation with Yadier Molina. But nonetheless, Kinsler is a guy that has had a lot of people talking. It's great to see him get the opportunity. And I think that, you know, there is value. There's something to be said for the value of Kinsler playing while Carson Kelly sits. Whatever the deeper meaning of that is, may still be, you know, to be determined, but it's great for Kinsler to get the opportunity, particularly in a playoff race with Memphis. I guess in theory, you could say the same thing about Carson Kelly on the major league squad, but I don't know that there's quite as much value to his career at this point, being the September call-up catcher behind Yadier Molina.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, you know, we say this every year, that Cardinals are going to have to do something. They're going to have to move a guy. They're going to have to clear up this pitching glut or this catching glut or whatever the case may be, and they tend to ignore us and not do that. But it does feel like it's coming to that point where you either have to decide, is Carson Kelly going to be the backup to Yadier Molina and actually going to have a chance to play? I mean, he's already going to play 150 games again next year, or whatever, you know, whatever he's on pace for without his DL thing. Or, you know, they can't both play at Memphis next year.
Mm-hmm.
Something feels like something has to be done somewhere. Now.
And I feel like it's a constantly evolving conversation because of the continued high level play of Yadier Molina, right? There's this strange time gap where they're trying to figure out which of their young catchers is on the right trajectory to be ready when Yadier Molina isn't going to play 150 games a year. But that, it's like a moving target at this point. That date, that timestamp keeps changing, because Yadier Molina doesn't believe in getting old, or in slowing down, or in, you know, not training to play 175 games a year, or whatever it is. So it's, like I said, it's a bit of a moving target. You know, you've got other catchers at other levels of the organization that aren't quite there yet to, you know, put themselves in the conversation of being heir apparent level catchers, but you do maybe have to start looking a little deeper than your AAA guy because Molina's not done yet. And and you know, you kind of have to keep readjusting that schedule, readjusting that plan, you know, based on whatever magic Yadier Molina pulls out of his hat for another season. And, you know, Carson Kelly is the guy that seems to kind of have been, unfortunately lost in the shuffle of that, but I'm not entirely sure Kinsner's the guy that's going to be the one either as far as that timeline goes. So, you know, as much as we can sit here and say they've got to figure this out, it's it's not a black and white yes or no, this guy or that guy sort of thing, because it's still evolving as far as what Melina is going to be able to do moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, and that is the kicker. I mean, we were thinking at by this point in time, I think that we would have seen like a 75-25 between him and Kelly, and then maybe next year would be halfway, and you know, kind of transitioning him out through the length of his contract, and that hasn't happened, and honestly, it shouldn't have happened the way that Yadier Molina has played this year. I mean, Yadier has played, it does feel like right now that you look at some of his results over the last 2-3 weeks that he may be getting, I'm not going to tell him that he's getting tired because I know he'll go to Instagram, but it does feel like maybe there's not quite as much spring in his step, quite as not life in his bat. He's obviously doing fine behind the plate, but it just doesn't feel like he's quite, you know, used to, for a while there it was, okay, Yadi's going to get a hit here, Yadi's going to do this, Yadi's that, and now it's, you know, it feels more like he's going to hit that ground ball double play. And maybe there's some reevaluating of where he is in the lineup that should go on, but, you know, he's still played at a very high level all year long, and there's no particular reason to think that next year won't be the same. And like you said, it just kind of doesn't fit the situation with what we thought and how that fits into their developmental timeline for Kinsler and Kelly. So I think that's going to be very interesting. And when you look at what's on the 40-man, what needs to clear off the 40-man, things of that nature. I mean, there could be some, you know, in theory, there could be some trades early in the off season. In theory, that doesn't always pan out as we well know. and we have not had our time to talk about Colton Wong, and we're almost done. So I have to carve out the Colton corner. Last I knew, and of course you probably know more than I, he was still kind of on pace to come off the DL sometime this week, and it feels like this team, it really needs that. The Cardinals have run out Greg Garcia a lot. You know, even with Patrick Wisdom up, he hasn't gotten a whole lot of starting time. You know, Yadier Munoz is out. And then, of course, you lost Jed Jerko right after it. That's kind of made this infield a little bit less than what it was, even though there's not any necessarily glaring issues. Having Colton Wong and having his bat back out there and his glove, obviously, would seem to give this team maybe a little bit of a boost as they get into these last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Colton was out taking some ground balls today. All the reports that I saw were that he seems to be feeling good, and that's a great sign. But you're right, it does. There's a dramatic difference on this infield when you don't have the middle infield defense that you're used to, and Jerko's certainly a part of that. But with Colton at second base, then you can slide guys to other positions. Munoz is a better third baseman than he is at second, and while we see him make a spectacular play and then a pretty terrible one, that's a perhaps more consistent option than Greg Garcia, at least adding a little bit offensively. So you get Colton there, you get him back and playing at second base. Hopefully he can pick up where he left off offensively as well, because he was, as we all know, on a pretty solid progression upward there as well. But this team, and again, you know, we've talked a little bit about not to go full hashtag Team Colton on you, but we've talked a little bit about how this team is lacking a little bit of that pep in their step. We've also talked throughout the season how Colton can sometimes be that spark plug guy. So, you know, you make a diving play up the middle, and all of a sudden there's a little bit more energy, a little bit more pep in the step, if you will. So getting Colton back at full strength is going to be a tremendous asset, if for no other reason than the defense improves, but it also, like I said, puts other guys back in better positions and maybe increases a little bit of the expectation of plays being made, which always helps a little bit with the confidence.
Yeah, definitely. So it is going to be very interesting to see whether Colton can keep that bat working after the, you know, 10 days or so off. Hopefully he can, because like I said, I think that gives a lot. But even just that, you know, given that swagger, given that pep, mm-hmm. hopefully can inspire this team. But you know, I'm not saying they're running on fumes, and I'm not saying, you know, because, you know, they're playing well for the most part. This weekend wasn't good, but I think that they could use some sort of jolt to get them over the edge. And maybe that's Marcell Ozuna getting back into the, you know, he came off the disabled list, and maybe he could kind of show a little bit of something. And maybe it's Colton Wong. Maybe it's, you know, Jed Jerko coming back. Maybe it's who knows what that it may be. But it's... they're probably going to need something to give them that little last little bit, and you don't want to see them fade in September. It would be understandable if they did, but I don't think that they will. Again, everybody enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Tara and I will be with you next week after talking about this road trip that has the Cardinals going to Washington and then out to Detroit. And we'll hopefully be talking about some winning baseball then. But until next week, that's Tara and I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey Cardinals fans, thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.